Please be seated. I give you my solemn promise that every sermon I give from here on out won't revolve around my recent trip to Israel. But this one will. A little bit. You simply can't travel to this land that we all call holy and not be affected. I was told before I went that I would never view Scripture in the same way after visiting all these sites that are home to so many of the stories that you and I have heard all of our lives. And that part is really true. And I'm tremendously grateful for this experience. 13 of us from Holy Nativity went on this trip. And there were several others who had planned to attend but had to cancel because of the storm or personal events that came up. And we were joined by an even larger group from the Diocese of Delaware. Now, our group and the group from Delaware, we really hit it off, which made the whole pilgrimage even that much more enjoyable. But, of course, in getting to know each other, the Delaware folks heard a lot of stories from us about Hurricane Michael and our lives struggling to recover from the storm. As you would expect by now, they knew nothing about the storm, but they do now. It was one night during dinner that the storm was the topic of conversation, and the folks at my table from Delaware seemed genuinely interested, or at least they were good at faking it by then. And the conversation centered around the early days following October 10th. We talked about how long the power was out, all of our plumbing issues, and of course our inability to communicate, whether via the internet or using our cell phones, and just how difficult was just to navigate our normal day-to-day activities. Now, some of the people from Delaware literally had their mouths hanging open as they heard about some of our challenges. And one of the Delaware pilgrims made the comment that it must have been terribly unsettling. That was putting it mildly. To have so much that we are used to taken away so abruptly. How the lack of control in our day-to-day lives must have been disconcerting. If only they knew, right? And recalling that conversation that night was where I found myself in today's gospel lesson. Not being in control, or at least believing that we're not in control, is a painful place. And whether it's a storm or an illness or a sudden death of a loved one or a lost job, all kind of things unsettle our plans and snatch control from us. And that can be deeply disturbing. Maybe that's why we work so hard to keep control of those things that at least seem to be under our power. And maybe that also explains some of the reactions in today's gospel lesson to Jesus's determined journey to the cross. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, our gospel lesson says. I know what that journey means now. And while I haven't walked it, I've at least been on a bus that followed that path. And believe me, it is not an easy journey. In fact, it would involve the very wilderness where Jesus was tempted for 40 days following his baptism. So Jesus knows a thing or two about not having a place to lay your head. The Samaritans will not receive Jesus. Well, the Samaritans didn't like Jews. They didn't like them then, and they don't like them now. So that's not really breaking news. Maybe the Samaritans realize that Jesus is on a mission that they want absolutely nothing to do with. Maybe they heard about his teaching and the miracles and think that Jesus is so set on reaching Jerusalem that he just doesn't have time for them. And maybe they had expectations of Jesus that he's not meeting, so they reject him. The disciples then take things to a whole new level and want to call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans. Maybe the disciples weren't above ethnic prejudice that still exists today. But mainly, I think, they don't want their plans upset. They're going to Jerusalem with Jesus. At this point, they're expecting a coronation, and nobody's going to interfere with that plan. Others in the story have plans too. Yes, they will follow Jesus as soon as they buried a loved one or said goodbye to family and friends. Who can blame them? They seem like reasonable requests. Yet, Jesus expects them to drop all of their plans and follow him right then. Talk about not being in control. And anyone who can't see the difference his ministry is making enough to allow their plans and hopes and dreams to be upset doesn't have what it takes to be a disciple. That seems pretty harsh to me. But I think it begs the question for all of us. Does Jesus make a noticeable difference in our lives? Does the grace, the mercy, and the love of God made incarnate in Christ Jesus supersede our plans and shape our lives? Or do we shape our faith to fit the lives that we've already planned? And I think if we're honest with each other, most of us are going to will be better able to identify with the latter, because we recognize that we harbor a deep-seated desire to be in control, to maintain some semblance of order in this chaotic world. And even though it seems harsh, Jesus isn't willing to concede to our plans, but rather demands that his mission come before everything else. Are we, as human beings, capable of that? No, we're not. But maybe this whole thing is a reminder that we really aren't in control. The control is an illusion, and that a hurricane, a tornado, an illness, a loss, a tragedy, or any one of 100 other things may dash our hopes as well as our plans. And as tempting, as simplistic, as pious as it may sound, to say the answer is just to turn things over to Jesus, well, I don't think that's the point. I'm not sure the point of this text is the choice between us being in control or Jesus being in control. That's just too simplistic, because think about it. Jesus doesn't go to Jerusalem to assume command, to take charge, or to be in control. He goes to Jerusalem to die, to thrust himself fully and completely into our out-of-control lives, and to come out on the other side. So maybe that's the promise of this text. Not that we can be in control, or even that God is in control, but rather that God in Jesus joins us in our out-of-controlness, holds on to us, and promises to bring us to the other side. That may not always seem like much of a promise, but at least it sounds real. We invest a lot of time, energy, and money in being in control. And plenty of good religious folks invite us to invest lots of time, energy, and money to surrender to God's control. Yet the world is still a terribly chaotic and unsettling place. So what if the deepest calling of Christian disciples isn't to be in control ourselves or vicariously through God, but rather to give up that illusion, to take some risks, to throw ourselves into this turbulent life and world God loves so much, trusting that God will join us in the adventure, hold on to us through all the ups and downs, and bring us in time to the other side? Maybe, just maybe, that's what faith is all about. And when we, like Jesus' first disciples, fall short yet again, then all we can do is give thanks that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, not just with us, but also for us. taking our chaotic circumstances and joining us in our turbulent lives, that we may know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. God love you. Amen.